man. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on? We are back. It's another Wednesday afternoon coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. A ton of stuff to get to. We have six, possibly seven interviews that we're going to do. We have some giveaways that we got to talk about. But first and foremost, our thoughts go out to Max Dadashev. I'm like you. I probably butchered you as much as you're going to butcher our guest.
That's what I do.
Fought on Friday.
Tragic.
Not the first. I guarantee it's not the last. Boxing is a very brutal sport. And, you know, we talked about it back when MMA was trying to get regulated, how MMA is safer than boxing and the reasons and whatever. And this goes back to, and we've talked about this before, every time a boxer goes in a ring, and yes, any athlete, but in the form of boxing with the gloves and the size of the gloves and continued the pounding on the head and the brain damage, they are putting their lives on the line.
Truly.
And this happened on Friday. The fight was stopped instantly. He went onto a gurney and self-induced coma, passed away. It's awful. Awful.
No, I mean, we saw it play out. I mean, and Dave Feldman was here, and we're talking about the safety of bare-knuckle boxing because of that. Because, like, and I never really understood that the gloves were meant to protect the hands, so it prolonged the events to create more of an entertainment sport.
So you can keep punching the head.
Right, a bigger spectacle, a longer, drawn-out event for the fans. But the devastation is real, and these guys literally put their lives on the line every time they step in to entertain us.
Sad. So I just wanted to start the show with that.
Sure.
I have a couple of my pet peeves.
You do?
I have some things that have happened over the past week.
You always do.
But first and foremost, I know that you have some guests right now, so go ahead and mention what you're going to do.
We got the Red Bull crew in the house.
Is it like, a vehicle out there, too?
Yeah, the vehicle's
here. Is
that
here? With the silly can on top?
No, it's not a silly can. It's an epic. Iconic Red Bull can. Red Bull gives you wings.
How about an iconic silly can on the roof?
And it's not silly. Okay? It's not silly about Red Bull. Red Bull is serious. It was the first energy drink to market, really. I mean, it was the one that kind of was like, it was, I remember when it came out, everybody's like, where's it?
It has my favorite color in it.
The red?
Red.
Why are you like red?
I've always liked red. Red's my favorite color.
You are wearing a red Knockout Radio shirt.
So are you doing some giveaways? Is that what
So Ethan and Kelsey, the Red Bull models, came by, dropped off some samples for you guys, and I'll throw in a free slice of pizza. So while supplies last, free pizza.
So you're learning. You're learning. While supplies last.
And you don't have to come by and do a gimmick. Just come in, say you want to meet Kelsey or Ethan, and if they're not here, then I'll still give you the free food.
I know that you saw my comment on the Book of Face. WWE Raw was here on Monday night.
Was here. How did you watch it?
I watched it till I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and I was shocked.
That.
It was 10:57, and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair were still awake.
What did it say? It was PM or AM?
No, PM.
Oh, maybe they filmed it in the morning.
Well, no, this was live.
Because it was like 11 AM.
And then Stone Cold came up, and he bashed his Red Bulls.
Isn't it his own IPA now? Doesn't he have like his own beer? It used to be Budweiser.
I don't know.
A brand that looked like Budweiser.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But I think he was representing his own company now.
If he was smart.
He's getting smart.
Yeah.
Why not?
But I wouldn't know because you couldn't see it. All right. Scheduled to be on today's show.
Yes.
Momentarily, 6 minutes or so, Gilliam Robertson will be on. Felicia Spencer, who I'm going to connect with her. I don't know if I want to give it all away.
Cyborg?
She is fighting Cyborg.
That's a huge fight.
She lives in Orlando from Canada. A graduate of?
UCF.
Trains at my buddy's gym, The Jungle. Okay. So excited about that.
Awesome.
Nico.
Jim Oliver.
You know, who just fought bare knuckle here in Tampa.
And
filling in
the Jits King
promotion. At the Jits King. Yeah. He is filling in and going into the main event.
Awesome.
Taking Knight's spot.
What a great guy.
And then you ready to butcher the name, or you want time to butcher it? Alex will be
I'll butcher it now.
Okay. Go ahead.
What's it look like? That's it. How many vowels do I got? Alex Dra... I quit. I can't even pretend to know what that is.
From Brazil, from Rio. So we're going to talk to him as well. Looking forward to that. And Alan Cruz, my teammate. Can I say teammate?
Yeah, teammate.
Even though I haven't been there in a while. But I think because we've sweated.
Yeah.
Smetted together.
If you share DNA, you guys are brothers.
Yep. We've rolled around half naked together on the mat. So I'm very excited for him next Tuesday night in Las Vegas. He will be competing on the Contender Series with you.
Yeah, huge.
So
I
don't know where to start. I won't say this person's name, but there was some things on the Book of Face about Dwight Gooden.
Okay. The doc.
Dwight Gooden arrested recently.
Again.
And then got arrested the other day.
Again.
Again, DUI, driving down the wrong way of a one-way street. I made my comments,
and
we all would know where my comments are.
Okay.
Should be in jail,
okay.
Just like if it was you or me or anybody else.
Sure.
So this person posted on the Book of Face, blah, 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 blah. I'm simply stating I'm still going to love and support the brother. He's this city's first big-time athletic award winner when he won the Cy Young.
Okay.
So me being me.
Okay. You looked up those people from his city?
Well, it's not that I had to look up.
Where's he from?
He's from Tampa.
Oh, okay. Oh, who? Dr. Gooden's from Tampa?
Oh, my God, you're an idiot.
I had no idea.
So
I didn't know this.
I just responded on the Book of Face, and I said, I just put his response. I said, well, Al Lopez is in the Hall of Fame. I think that's equal. I'm not going to say one's higher than the other.
Okay.
Steve Garvey,
lefty.
Was MVP.
No, that's Steve Carlton.
That's Steve Carlton. So his response was, Randy Harris, for my people, it's a big deal. And me coming up through the Belmont Heights Little League, it's a big deal for us. Maybe the stat is off, but it's nevertheless, his value to our community is what it is. He'll always be a legend in most of our eyes.
Huh.
Well, he can be a legend.
Right, he can be a legend for what he did on the field.
Right.
Right, but this is like...
You said the first athlete in Tampa to win an award like that. All I was saying is you're wrong. Well, I said here, a big-time athletic award winner going into the Hall of Fame is a much bigger award, in my opinion. Steve Garvey, MVP, and I'm pretty sure there are many more, on and on and on.
Sure.
Why has it always got to be like this? It's like this Mueller thing that I watched all afternoon.
Yeah, did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing.
Really? What was your takeaway?
It's a circus.
Okay.
I want one person from either side, I don't care which side, to go the opposite. I want a Democrat to tell Mueller he did awful, or I want a Republican to say, yeah, all right, man, you're my man. But it doesn't happen that way. And every time a Republican would ask a question, I'm not answering that.
Let's just put the politicians in a squared circle or a ring and just let them duke it out. Winner gets the law passed.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Big news, the St. Pete City Council unanimously extended the Firestone Grand Prix.
Oh, nice.
5 more years through 2024.
Amazing.
Race will occur the second weekend of March for the next 5 years.
It's a great production. They do a great job with it. Brings a ton of new people from around the world for the city, for tourism. So, yay, St. Pete.
Yep. Did you see the Dan Hardy fight?
I did not see it.
And
45 seconds, I know.
When the announcement was read, Big Dan Mergliotta just shaking his head.
Shaking his head. Disbelief or?
I think about the antics.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was about the antics.
The dance
and,
that he
know,
did?
Yeah.
The Hardy dance?
You know, and again, why? I mean, a lot of people do that.
Because it's Greg
because
Hardy.
Because Greg Hardy?
Because it comes with the baggage of the domestic issues from the past.
I don't know if I like a referee doing that. I got to be honest.
They should be impartial.
They should be impartial.
It shouldn't matter to them what the guy did outside the octagon. Doesn't matter what Doc Gooden did outside the baseball field, right?
It goes into the start of training camp tomorrow, the Warren Sapp, you know, that I've argued and said on and on and on and on. It's when you're talking greatest or best or Hall of Fame, it's what Warren Sapp did on the field. It's what Doc Gooden did on the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, and these guys are fighting the fight of their life. I mean, we talk about combat sports and people fighting for trophies, fighting for pride, fighting for their honor. These guys are fighting for their life against drugs and addiction, and I think everybody in some way or form can identify with it. So it's tragic.
Are we back on Doc?
Yeah, it's tragic that he's going through this. I mean, a legend guy a Hall of Famer, you know, a championship 1986 legendary series.
If it wasn't that he's a celebrity or former celebrity,
he'd be in jail.
Wouldn't he be in jail already?
25 years ago.
I just think it's awful that you put someone else's life in jeopardy. It's bad enough if you put your own. Sure. And you know, I'm going to say the wrong things and get in trouble, and it is what it is. I don't care if you put your own life in jeopardy. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if you want to commit suicide. Go do it. I don't care if you want to drive into a brick wall and kill yourself.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
It's when you put other people's lives in jeopardy that concerns me.
That becomes selfish, and that becomes inconsiderate, and you're cancer to society.
That's when I got my first death threat.
Really?
I told you the death threat story, right?
Your first one?
That was my first one.
How many death threats you got?
I've had a few.
You've had a long career, so I'm sure you have.
I had a few, but I stand by what I said.
For sure.
It was the former Eagle who died in the tragic car accident. I think it was up in Brooksville.
Okay.
He went the wrong way in his Corvette.
Okay.
Trying to whip over and get back on the right side, raining, lost control, hit a tree, and died.
Okay.
He's a murderer. I said it then. I say it now. He killed his nephew.
Wow.
Who was just in the vehicle with his uncle, right, hanging out with his uncle.
Sure.
You want to be a moron, be a moron.
Yeah.
Just don't take people. Now we're chasing our
they're like,
friends. They're like, we've had enough.
Like, that's it. He said the word murderer. We're even.
we don't want any part of what's going on.
They obviously have wings because they're gone. That's by the way, speaking of personal responsibility, I mean, Doc Holliday, you know, his life was tragically ended from what they say was influence under whatever.
Yeah.
He crashed his plane and lost his life, but yet inducted in the Hall of Fame this week because of his antics or because of his career on the field.
Yeah, well, what he did and how he died should have had no effect on
his voting for the Hall of Fame.
On the same line, and don't kid yourself, it shouldn't affect going in or staying out. You don't think he got a vote or two or four or six, or maybe somebody's on the fence, but because he did pass away tragically.
Definitely there was some
pulling on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it helped that. Yeah.
Sure.
He didn't have to wait as long.
And, you know, at least what he did, he didn't take someone with him.
For sure.
You know, still tragic. Nobody should, could, would, all that kind of stuff. But you know what the funniest thing of the whole Hall of Fame induction ceremony was, don't you?
No.
And I didn't watch it, but this was on all the news and it's classic. So do you know the order of who went up?
No.
All right. So you're on the last person, which was Rivera. And Rivera goes up there and he says, "Why do I always got to go last?" It was so funny.
That's classic.
It was funny. It was probably the funniest thing that I've heard in a long time.
The greatest closer of all closers to close out the awards ceremony.
I saw the 30-30 on ESPN and how, you know, he was a position player. And there just so happened to be a scout in the stands. And they're like, "We're going to make you a pitcher." He goes, "I'm not a pitcher." And then when they talked to Cashman and some of the Yankees, they're like, he wasn't a pitcher. We had to groom him into pitching. And they had some footage of, you know, during spring training, they hit these ground balls when you're on the mound. And then you just practice throwing the first or doing whatever. He missed both that they showed.
Wow.
You know, and then to go on and become a legend. And, you know, I don't like to use that word. You know, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, all these guys are famous sports figures. But they're all humans like us, and the life can be cut short with one bad decision or one
bad decision by yourself.
For sure.
Or well as one bad decision by somebody else.
Of course.
Whether, you know, Paul Walker, you know, was in the car. Now, we don't know anything about it, you know, but he was a passenger.
Sure.
So whether you're in that car, you're in another car, you know, look at Sweet Pea, Whitaker.
Sure.
Just standing on a street corner.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Life is fragile. So we all know it too well.
No worries. No, it's UFC interviews, so we're just trying to get them on the phone.
Yeah, I got to make sure they're
up in Edmonton.
Sure, they have the right number. Going back to Canada.
Yeah.
Canada.
What is it? Edmonton, right?
Edmonton.
Yeah. I need to get up to it. I haven't been to Canada in a while. I just got the passport back, so maybe I'll do. I need to do a Toronto.
When was your last time going to Canada?
Couldn't even tell you.
Really? Toronto's a nice city.
Yeah, it is.
I went when I was young.
Very walkable.
I remember it was very clean. Like for a big city standard, it was extremely clean for a large city.
I don't know if I remember that.
And I remember the street signs were blue, and they were like so much more visible to see than like the green ones in America.
I just know that my buddy ran the distillery district, so I ate well the whole time we were there. I had some of the UFC people that I hang out with then and still. They said, I can't hang with you anymore.
Yeah?
Because we would walk. That's how much food we ate. We would walk. It was probably a mile and a half to the distillery district.
Okay.
And then eat and then walk back.
Right.
And we were still sick from having. Yeah. I did it twice. I died once. I stood right in that corner.
Well, how did that become something like an event? Like how did that?
Well, it's not an event. You can't. You're not allowed to do it. I mean, people still. You know, there's been a few. But what goes through your mind to? You know, I told you I have this little.
Would you do it? Would you jump off the falls?
No.
Tom Brady did with his 6-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that wasn't the falls. That was he jumped off a cliff. It's a big difference. I have a phobia.
Okay.
That I don't think. I'm pretty sure I never would do it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm confident I would never do it. But I can't stand close to, like, railings.
Okay.
Because I have visions of jumping.
Really?
Seriously. No, really? I'm being serious. It's a heart attack. Now, I would never jump. But, you know, you just have that feeling, like, what would it feel like? Could I do it? You know, could I jump? And I know I never could.
Wow.
And I never would. But I stood on the corner there in Niagara Falls, you know, of where the
like,
really get in a barrel and jump over. But on the phone with us right now, the first of a few interviews that we have set for this weekend's UFC. Let's welcome to the program Gilliam Robertson. Gilliam, how are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing great today. Just finished a hard workout. Weight's looking great and just a couple of days out, so I'm ready.
Awesome. So we'll get through this. I won't ask a whole lot of difficult questions. Probably the most important one, at least I'm thinking important. I know that it's a work trip, and I ask the athletes all the time, you know, it's work. It's the most important thing. You fought in the Czech Republic, Brazil, England, Vegas. And I know my co-host told me I have to say Raleigh because we don't want those people mad at us either. Now you're in Edmonton. Do you get to go out and enjoy the city at all? Do you get to go out and relax but still go out there and check out a new city?
Honestly, I don't. During fight week, I don't really as much. I feel like I'm so focused on the fight. That's my first priority, and I feel like that's where all my attention needs to be at. So I really haven't got to explore a lot of the cities that I've went to. Usually I'm just focused on the fight, and then as soon as it's over, I'm ready to get home.
So are you thinking about and concentrating on the fight the whole time, or do you try to, you know, not think about it and, you know, think about other stuff or watch TV or listen to music, or do you want to focus on the task at hand, which is Saturday night's fight?
Oh, that's all I think about. When I've been doing 2 training sessions a day with my coach, I'm waking up, I'm meditating, visualizing, just everything that I do is completely calculated towards the fight and just everything to get my hand raised on Saturday.
Ooh, what's a fight week like?
It's just a lot of weight cut stuff, really. That's the main priority. But my weight's fine, so we've just been drilling, a lot of interviews. That's really about it. It's nothing too exciting. A lot of hanging out in the hotel room. And like I said, I visualize and meditate a lot and just focus.
Now you're down at ATT, right?
Correct.
Before we talk about the fight, you know, and get ready for Saturday, tell me a little bit about Dean Thomas.
Dean Thomas is my head coach. I've been with him since I was 16 years old. So the last 8 years I've worked with him. And I feel like he's a huge key to the fight. A huge key to my game and created the fighter that I am today.
He's one of my closest friends in the sport. I believe his very first MMA interview was on this program. And I'm curious, how many times have you heard him being called Din and not Dean?
Oh, thousands. Actually, on when I went to go try out for the Ultimate Fighter, my first interview with the guy, he was saying to me, he's like, oh, so you're from Port St. Lucie, so you know Din. I was like, oh, yeah, I know Dean. He's like, oh, Din.
Now, have you ever seen, because I've asked Dean about it, and he goes, no, I don't correct anybody. Does he correct? Do you correct? Has anybody ever told somebody that's called him Din that it's Dean?
I haven't seen anybody correct him, but it's the same with me. Everybody calls me Gillian instead of Jillian, and I never correct anybody. I just let it go.
Well, you should have corrected me, because I try to be as, you know, say the name, you know, right. Jillian,
I didn't even hear you, so.
Tell us about your opponent, Sarah.
Sarah Frederick, she's definitely a high-level opponent. She's 9-1. She has powerful striking. Her left hand has definitely stunned some girls. And she has a lot of finishes by submission. But I feel like she'll still be out of her element when she's on the ground with me.
When you prepare for a fight, you know, and we'll say, you know, the fight Saturday against Sarah, do you watch, does Dean watch video? And is it, do you worry about what your opponent's going to do? Or is it more important what you're going to do and they have to worry about what you're going to do?
I think it's both. I love to study my opponents. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of visualizing. So I feel like if I can see as much, like, see how they move, see patterns that they usually create through fights, and it just helps me visualize it better and perform better during the fight. And Dean breaks down videos step by step for me, no matter what. So we definitely put a lot of work into studying my opponent.
Are you able to watch a fight, an MMA fight, a boxing, you know, whatever, as a fan, or whenever you're watching this, are you always thinking, you know, work, your job, how can this help you?
No, I'm definitely able to watch as a fan. I feel like it's a little bit harder whenever it's girls in my division. Any 125ers that I'm looking at, I'm like, all right, this is a possible matchup in the future. But any other fight, I feel like, any other division, it's easy to watch fights. I like it.
Before I let you go, a quick question. I want the national audience to get to know you a little bit. It's one of the questions I ask all the celebrities, the athletes. We do a lot of football shows as well. You're going to have four people come over for dinner. They can't be family, can't be people from the gym. It can be living, passed away, real or fictitious. What four people are you going to have dinner with?
Oh, gosh. Can't be from the gym. Like, literally all my idols I train with.
Yeah, all right. It's just a way that we find it. And sometimes I get some of the greatest, you know, answers. I've had people, you know, one person said Jesus, which was great. And then the next person said Hitler.
Oh, gosh. Literally the girls I look up to, the people I look up to are girls like Amanda Nunes and Joanna and Jacek, and they're training partners to me, and I see them on the mat every day. But really, no matter what, they're my motivation.
Right. That definitely makes sense. What can we expect to see on Saturday, Jillian?
You can definitely expect to see a violent display of ground and pound, and then me attacking the throat and getting the finish.
What will you do to celebrate after a fight? Is there a food that you normally don't eat or you can't eat as you're training and getting ready for a fight that you'll be able to have either Sunday in Canada or once you get back to Florida?
It's just carbs, lots and lots of carbs. That's all I miss right now. So probably pizza and burgers, just basic stuff, but I just miss bread.
We're broadcasting from a pizzeria in St. Pete, Florida right now.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Well, you need to tell Dean to come up. You know, we'll take care of food. We'll get you some pizza. But just because I know this will upset Dean, and you have to promise me not to give him some, I'm going to send you some wicked good cupcakes, and it'll be there next week, so you can have it after the fight. And enjoy them from Knockout Radio for coming on the show. We're also going to put you on hold so we can get an address so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong.
Oh, thank you so much. That just made my day.
I appreciate your time. Tell Dean I said hi, and we'll talk to you again soon. We're going to put you on hold now. That is Jillian Robertson, trains down there with Din, the big Dinmeister.
Because you come for dinner at Tour de Pizza.
There you go. You know, it's funny because we always talk about Dean Thomas and my other brother from another mother, Eve Edwards.
Sure.
And everybody thinks, and I don't think they do look similar, but everybody's like, we've never seen them together. Is there really two different people?
It's like Batman. It's like they never seen them together, so I think they're the same person.
What, Batman and who?
Bruce Wayne.
Oh, Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Which Batman?
The Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, I loved in Night Shifts.
Okay.
Did you ever see Night Shifts? Now I just gave away one of my 9 movies that I've seen.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Night Shifts was cool. With basically a brothel out of the mortuary. It's classic. It's some funny, funny stuff. All right, let's go hit our first break. When we come back, our local guy from Tampa heads out to Las Vegas, Nevada next week to enter into the Contender Series. Will Alon Cruz be our next UFC fighter out of the Tampa Bay area? We'll get to that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of
time. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tour de Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. During the break, I forgot to ask you what just went down.
I don't even know what went down.
Yeah, you can tell me about that later. All right, so you know, I get upset at a lot of things.
You do.
You know, a lot of, I'm willing to die in the ring or the cage. You're not willing to, this is my opinion, you're not willing to die, but you're aware you could die.
Right.
I get that.
Sure.
The next fight is the most important fight of my career. You fought for 6 titles. You're a 5-time world champion. Your next fight may not be. Well, our next guest, the most important fight of his career is next Tuesday. My teammate, now whether he still calls me a teammate is another story. I haven't been there in a while. My buddy Alon Cruz. Alon, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Randy?
Not too bad. I'm very excited about next week. How are you? Or are you just still even keel? It's just another fight when you fight in front of Dana White to get a contract with the UFC.
Yeah, I'm just I'm doing well. Yes, sir. Sorry, as a yard man. I'm just, you know, I just think it has another fight. You know, obviously, the stakes are a little higher, but you know, I'm not gonna let that get to me, and then you know, I wouldn't be able to perform to the best of my abilities. So I'm just gonna take it as another fight, another tough opponent, like I normally do, and go out there and just do my best, you know, enjoy it.
How did this happen? How did you get the call? Was it Coach Dan got the call? How did it happen? How long have you known? And, you know, fill us in.
Yeah, so after my last win in Atlanta, Georgia, I fought for NFC, and my friend Josh Rafferty, I don't know if you know him, he's a
fighter.
He's been in, like, so he was on the Ultimate Fighter and everything. Well, he hooked me up with his friend, Daniel Rubenstein, who's an agent to, you know, a bunch of UFC fighters, you know, Sean O'Malley, Mackenzie Dern. He works with Jake Yeager. And, you know, he hooked me up with him, and basically we signed, you know, a contract, and we became working together. And he's like, I'm going to try and get you on the Contender Series in July. And I was like, all right, I was like, cool. But in the meantime, you know, we were looking for another fight just in case, that didn't work out so I could stay active. And it came through, and he hit me. He actually sent me, he just sent me the name of the guy I'm fighting and said, you're going to be on the Contender Series in July. So that was pretty much how that happened.
We could either let you answer or the puppy answer. What
I know,
do you know?
I ran upstairs.
It's all.
And I've known for like, you know, 2 or 3 months now. So I've known for a while. I just couldn't really announce it officially until ESPN announced the fight card on the other Contender Series episodes, I guess. So once I was able to announce it, then I put it out there.
What do you know? What do you know about your opponent?
His name's Stephen Nguyen. He's 5'11", so I'm an inch taller. He is 6-0 as a pro. I think he's also 7-0 or something as an amateur. So he's undefeated. He trains out of Wichita, Kansas, but I'm pretty sure he's in Texas at Fortis MMA at the moment. He's primarily a striker, I would say. He's got kind of like a traditional kickboxing background. Or like a traditional, like maybe karate style. He likes to throw like some fancy kicks sometimes. But he's pretty well-rounded. So I'm just assuming he's going to be the best, you know, Stephen Nguyen, you know, when he shows up that day. But I just don't think he has fought the same competition as I fought. You know, I fought a lot of tough guys, you know, on the Southeastern circuit. And, you know, I know he's got a big name in the Midwest. But I think it's just gonna, I have more experience than he does. I think it's just going to come down to experience in this fight.
Well, you know, and you and I have talked, you know, a great deal in the past when I did show up at the gym. You know, records, you know, you can fudge records. You don't know who you're fighting. You know, I mean, we could talk about all sorts of fighters that have wins against, you know, other athletes. You know, it's about that experience. It's about how you train. You know, I know how you train. I've seen how you train. How do you expect this? How would you like to see this fight go down next Tuesday?
I don't really put a lot into game planning. You know, when I see my opponent, I look at some of his tendencies, maybe some mistakes that he makes, but I don't really put too much into that because he could fix those by the time I get to the fight. So, you know, I'll watch the fight in the beginning of camp or his fights in the beginning of camp just to get a sense of what he does. And then the rest of the time, I just let coach, you know, watch his video, let me know what we're going to work on. And then I'll rewatch his videos closer to the fight just to get a refresher. And, you know, I don't really go for game plans. So when I get in the cage, I'm going to kind of just feel it out. I don't mind striking. You know, if I'm winning in the strike up, I mean, in the striking battle, then, you know, I don't see the need to take it down. I'll just keep standing. But if it's not going so well for me in the stand up, then I'll take him down, you know, or vice versa. I get to take him down, you know, whenever I feel like I want to, even if I am winning the striking. So I just kind of let the flow of the fight play out. And wherever the fight goes, you know, I'm ready to go wherever.
With everything that's on the line, and I'm sure you're well aware of what Dana White's looking for, and it's not just about the win. You know, it's about how you get the win. Are you going to have that in the back of your mind, or you need to block that out and just go do what you do, knowing that you could win decisively, and it still not be as exciting to Dana to get this contract?
Right. Yeah, that's a big difference for this show compared to any other show you're fighting on, as you said.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing, obviously, you need to win, because you can be as exciting as you want. And we've seen, you know, time and time again that even if you're in the most exciting fight of the season, if you lose, he's not going to sign you. He's not going to sign both fighters. He's only going to sign the winner. So number one is to win. Second, you want to make it exciting at times that you think you can make it. So if I'm on top and I feel like this is a good time, I'm in a control position and I can, you know, let loose a little bit and make it a little more of the times. But I'm not necessarily going to run out there and, you know, start throwing cartwheel kicks and flying backflip kicks, you know, right off the bat or the entire fight, you know, just to, you know, put myself in danger too much. So try to make it exciting while being dominant and not being too outrageous, I guess, while you're out there. That's kind of the key. You know, some people are about that life and, you know, they're down to go out there and just brawl and bang it out. You know, I'm more of a calculated fighter, I guess, for the most part. But I just think if you just rush too much, you know, and you get caught and you lose, that's kind of your chance is gone. You know, at least if you win, he'll bring you back on the next season, or it's good exposure for, you know, other shows to look at you. And just like we saw Hannah Goldie, right? Hannah Goldie just won, or she won like a couple weeks ago, and now she, and he didn't sign her though, and now she's on, she's fighting on the UFC card.
Right.
You know, so as long as you win, you definitely have a better chance of getting in later or having a second chance. But if you lose, that's a big setback, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I, for one, I'm very excited for you. I can't wait for next Tuesday. I will definitely be tuning in. Wish you all the best of luck. I know you don't need it. Can't wait to see you sign this contract and live out at least the beginning of what I know has been your dream to be a UFC fighter.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it.
Hold so I can get your address. I'm sure I have it somewhere, but that way I can send you out a package from Ape Man Strong for coming on the program today.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care. yeah, we've sweated together.
Yeah. You have a thing for naked guys and rolling around.
Yeah, he enjoyed beating me up.
That's what they do.
Yeah. He was a big fan of that. So Alon Cruz heads to Vegas next week. The fight's on Tuesday. He probably goes this weekend and to get ready. Coming up momentarily, as soon as we get all of Alon's info, Felicia Spencer, who just texted me to say she's ready. So maybe last week things are getting good.
Yeah, it's getting better.
Little excited about this interview for my daughter. I mean, I'm excited for Knockout Radio and such.
Sure.
But excited for my daughter.
Yeah, this is her girl.
It will become.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how it's like any of us. You know, who's your favorite athlete? Who's your favorite horse? You know, if you watch a horse race.
The one you have a personal connection with.
With whatever.
Whether you went to school with them or you're from the same town or...
My daughter has always liked Frankie Edgar. Ask me why.
Why?
The commercial. You know, with the big tiger. Not because of his fighting skills and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-oh.
Right? So, all yeah.
Right. Really? So, that's the reason?
That's how she became her favorite male fighter.
Have you ever been a fan of the...
How come you didn't bring up the Niagara Falls thing?
Well, I was putting out a fire over here.
Yeah, you were. So I can't wait till the top of the hour to find out what happened.
I still don't know what happened, but...
I appreciate you getting the person out of here.
Yeah, I had to go into damage control. I don't know what's going on. Rowdy fans. I mean, when you offer a free Red Bull and free pizza, people just come out of nowhere.
Oh, there's...
I'm going to need security. I'm going to need, like, the Philly security.
The Rays losing.
You feel like that? She just walked right on up and tried to shake hands with everyone. I had no protection.
Where is John Robinson and the rest of the security?
I know. What's going on? Well, Nick's in Alaska.
I know.
Like fishing. And
yeah, forever.
What? Oh, he moved there permanently?
Well, no. He moved there until I think it's September or October.
But what I was trying to reference, did you see the guy that walked onto the field in the Phillies game to shake hands with Brad Miller?
No.
Like he just casually walked on. And, like, no one stopped him. They just thought, well, because you know, confidence says everything. If you feel like you belong and you're supposed to be there, people, like, he didn't run and sprint. This guy just casually walked up like he was a friend. And then he, like, tried to shake the guy's hand, who was his fan. And, you know, everybody backed up, and then the police arrested him. But why would you get arrested for what's his name, Brad Miller? I mean, like, what athlete would you actually get arrested for storming the court?
Is there Rocky Balboa.
That's it. The only one.
If Rocky Balboa was in his full garb, it doesn't matter which one. He could even be wearing the contender stuff.
Okay.
You know, the underwear. You know, whatever he needs to do. I may.
So, but that's not a real person.
What?
Rocky Balboa is not real. He's like Santa Claus.
I don't know what you mean.
It's fake.
Matter of fact, I did get a little excited when I saw Rocky Balboa at the Bucks Eagles game.
You did.
He came and he was in the corner and everything's up there on him and all that kind of stuff. And then the Bucks kicked their butts. So,
yeah. But is there any real athlete that you would go to jail for to shake a hand?
No.
Like to interrupt a game of play?
No.
Nothing?
There's nobody that I would be willing to go to jail for. Now, I guess, but here I'm going to correct myself. I'm going to argue with myself. Felicia coming up momentarily. I did go into the ring at Affliction.
To get a picture with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, right.
Then the Apprentice star? Or what was he doing at the time?
I don't even think it was Apprentice back then.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. That's when Tim Sylvia and Fedor and we still joke about it. Roy Nelson sat four rows behind us.
Just big country, just hanging out.
You know, so I guess it's kind of like that statement, I'm willing to die. I'm not willing to go to jail, but I did want that photo pretty bad.
Yeah, so you were in the ring with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That's a cool photo.
Back then. Now, who would have known?
Now, if you can get one in the Oval Office, that would be legendary.
Well, I could have. I could have gone in the Oval Office a couple years ago.
But you were banning it because of the U.S. soccer team? Or
no, a buddy of mine was Secret Service.
Oh, really?
Yep. And the day that I was there, the president was there.
Wow.
So he said, any other time. I'll tell you the story about the Royal Mints and Rich Franklin and all that kind of stuff. But first and foremost, let's head back up to O Canada. On the phone with us right now, Felicia Spencer. Felicia, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. I got to tell you, right out of the blocks, I mentioned it at the beginning of this program, my 25-year-old daughter is so excited to have you on the show today. She also graduated from UCF, and she normally doesn't get excited about my program, so she's excited to have you on the show.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Good for
night. Exactly, another night. Tell me how that happened. From Canada, you end up in Orlando, you're at UCF, you're at my buddy's gym at the Jungle. How did that whole play out?
Well, my family actually moved from Canada when I was about four. There was a little bit of moving around, but we settled in Englewood, Florida, Southwest Florida. I was in like first grade, going into second grade around the time. So I've pretty much grown up in a small town in Florida, and then went to Orlando to go to UCF about 10 years ago. So that's kind of how it played out with how I ended up there. Just wanted to go to that school, UCF, and found connections with the Jungle, and been my Jungle family ever since.
Please, when you have a chance, tell Mike and Seth and everybody that I said hi, that we go way, 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 way back. So when I saw that, my daughter got excited about the Knights thing, and I got excited that, you're part of the Jungle.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Seth is over in the next room. I'll be sure to tell him, and Mike will be here on Friday, so... For sure.
Now, are you still a teacher in Orlando?
I am. I'm actually a Florida virtual school teacher. You might know what that is. It's an online program, so I'm teaching kids all over Florida.
So has there ever been, and I didn't know this, I don't do really any research until the day of an interview. How many times have people compared you to Rich Franklin, a former high school teacher as well, and then went on to big things?
It definitely comes up here and there. It's really cool that he was also a math teacher. And I one of my favorite fighters just from the time I started watching, when he was doing big things is when I kind of started to watch. So I definitely always I was a fan of Rich.
Very good guy and obviously now in the Hall of Fame. Co-main event on Saturday, fighting Chris Cyborg, undefeated record, title shot online. I could go on and on and on. Do you try to block all of that out as distractions or until, people like us bring it up?
There's obviously things that cross my mind. It's like kind of unbelievable to be in the position I'm in. But honestly, I feel really grounded with the people around me. I'm working. I still work full time. I train. I, have family and life responsibilities to manage just like everybody. So it all keeps me grounded. I just, stick to working hard and, I never take myself too seriously. My team, I have a perfect team for that, Seth and,
for sure.
Keeping up all the time. We can never be too serious about anything. So, that kind of plays into my mindset of being just comfortable and being myself. And, I don't feel pressure or nerves, lately, in the fight game. It's just been, I know what I'm capable of. And if I'm being myself and having fun doing it, focused and energetic, I'll be able to accomplish big things.
Are all of those things, or some of those things, some of the driving force, behind as well?
I've always wanted to be at the forefront of, the divisions or, just take the sport as far as I can, And when I first started the sport, it wasn't an opportunity even available to be a UFC champion, so it wasn't on my radar so much. But as opportunities progressed, it was like, that's the next step. Invicta came around, the UFC allowed, had a women's division open up, and then those kinds of things became possible. So I was always just kind of working toward going as far as I possibly can. you know, and I just love training in general. So the chance to compete is, you know, something I'm lucky enough to do, and definitely living the dream.
Since I've mentioned the word driving, I have to ask, since you live in Orlando, or really the outskirts of Orlando, have you ever been any place that the driving is as bad and traffic is as bad as it is in Orlando?
There's some big cities that are pretty bad, but no, I definitely, I-4 is definitely its own animal. When I was younger, I was in Miami feeling a little overwhelmed, and then I think Chicago was pretty crazy, or D.C. Oh, D.C. is kind of a nightmare, too. But
yeah, I guess there are some. I've been to L.A. I went to somebody's house out there. It was brutal. But I used to tell my daughter for the 5 years she went to UCF that if I lived in Orlando, the first thing I would do is move.
Yeah, it's funny. You kind of get to know your way around. Like, you know what time not to drive on I-4.
Show you a little bit. It's one of my favorite questions. You're going to have four people come over for dinner. It can't be family. It can't be people from the gym. They can be living, passed away, fictitious, real. What four people would you like to, you know, sit down and have dinner with and just kind of talk?
The first one that comes to mind is Gina Carano. She was one of the first famous on a certain level women's MMA fighters. I always thought it'd be cool to meet her. I never really think about questions like this. Let me see. I enjoy a little goofy meal here and there. I love Jim Carrey stuff. We'll just keep the comedy theme. I love Adam Sandler too. It'd be nice to maybe bring someone. Bring someone from like my family's history. I know you said no family, but someone that I never would have met, you know, generations past, like just someone from way back come back and get to see how my family was back in the day. That'd be cool.
I'd like that. I like that a lot. All right. Thoughts on Chris Cyborg?
I have a lot of respect for Chris. She's a legend. You know, I keep saying that. It's an honor to stand in front of her, and it's going to be an incredible name to have on my record, to have a win, have a win over. I'm just excited to have the opportunity to show the world what I'm capable of. And I have nothing but respect for her as a competitor.
What should we expect to see Saturday night on pay-per-view?
You should expect to see the best version of me standing in front of the best version of Chris Cyborg, and I'm planning to finish in the first round. That's always the goal. So whether it's, standing, or there's a tendency of my fights going to the ground. So it's very possible that will happen. I don't have any particular, game plan for the finish, but you can definitely hope for a first round, and I'm ready for three rounds of a great fight.
Definitely good stuff. Felicia, thank you very much for your time. Let's put you on hold real quick so we can get your address so I can send a package to you from 8 Man Strong, and tell Mike and Seth I'll send them one as well.
Okay, sounds good. And it was great to meet you.
Well, we'll meet in Orlando. I'm up there all the time, so I'll stop by the gym, and we'll meet face-to-face as well.
All right, sounds good.
Awesome. Best of luck to you on Saturday.
Thank you very much. All right, thank you.
Saturday. Bye. Take care. We appreciate it. Let's put Felicia on hold. Yeah, I'm going to drive up there. We'll go hang out with Mike. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that broke Seth was fighting Kimbo Slice.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys get the inside information.
Well, I remember it like it was yesterday down there. And, they were in the back, and Ken somehow cut himself or got cut or whatever. And I went down there because of Ken, but Seth and Mike, are friends of ours from the Orlando area. And, it was before all of this social media stuff.
Sure.
So it was like at the very beginning stages of it. So it took a long time, for that to get out. And I was literally, the knockout of Kimbo was literally right in front of me.
Wow.
So I was front row, media row.
Sure.
And Seth came from the other side and just took four steps towards him, hit him once, and tell legends are. Sean went up to Kimbo. Kevin Ferguson, and asked for a photo. And, he has these big glasses on, and, he was trying to, and he's like, I just lost. Didn't you see it? And Sean's like, That doesn't mean anything. I'd love to get a photo with you. Cool guy.
Wow.
And Seth is Seth. You know, Seth has been on the program numerous times. I still have a silverback T-shirt that he sent me.
Oh, nice.
And you know, I don't keep a lot of that stuff.
Sure.
But I did keep that because he is definitely one of the good ones. And Mike's a pretty cool dude as well.
I mean, gotta invite her as well to the Pete Show.
We'll need to do something.
That's what's fun is like having these guys that are so skilled, so athletes. Precise with
athletes.
Their hands,
athletes.
But they're like they're the best in the world at what they do, right? I mean, their hands are their weapons, but yet they fumble to like make a pizza. So it's cool to have them come in and play around with the dough and get to hang out with them, get to know them on and off the octagon.
You know, didn't Melvin say lethal weapons?
Yeah.
At least that's what he was just recently told.
That's what the judge said.
That's what the judge said.
I don't know if he said it. I think the judge.
Well, no, that's what he said. He said that the judge said that his hands are lethal weapons. So
he's got a big fight coming up on August 10th.
Yeah, against Valley Flag.
Big.
On the 10th, the Bucks play on that Friday in Pittsburgh. Hopefully, they have cable TV in Biloxi, so I'll be able to see the game.
Speaking of flags, did you hear about Alex Trebek from Jeopardy trolling the New York Mets?
No.
It's like it was a category about flags, and like, it was like the white flag, like the surrender, and he brought in the Mets. It's like just throw in the towel.
Big congrats to a Brazilian legend.
Okay.
Anderson Silva.
And what did he do?
Just raised his right hand.
And became a U.S. citizen.
He did.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Big for him.
It's great for him.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, and I'm not saying that derogatory. I'm saying that that's big for him. I don't know if it's necessarily big for you, me, or any other quote-unquote American.
We get to claim him now, right? He's ours. It's like, oh.
I don't know, because Brock Lesnar is an American who claims he's Canadian.
Is that a good thing for tax benefit, or is that for medical marijuana?
Who knows? But it could be either one.
Free health care?
I'm sure he can afford his health care. You know?
Yeah, so now America got Brock Lesnar.
Well, no. America now has Anderson Silva.
Well, can we trade for Lesnar? Let's trade him.
You want Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a WWE.
Just because he bounces back and forth?
Because he can do it both.
Because Paul Heyman comes out and says, I'm Paul Heyman.
Because he plays a badass in the ring, and then he's a real badass in the octagon. And you got to respect that.
Absolutely you do.
Because he can do both.
You know, when he first came into MMA, I thought it was a joke.
Right.
And I've said it on the program before, and, you know, then he goes into the UFC, and I still thought he was a joke. And, you know, when he fought Shane Carwin, I still thought it was a joke until he got manhandled in the first round, lost the first round, and Shane Carwin really couldn't come out. He did come out, but, you know, he wasn't able to move, and Brock did what he needed to do and won the title.
Greg Hardy, another guy coming from a different sport. And
I still want to see Greg Hardy fight somebody.
Oh, yeah, he has to. I mean, he will. I mean, he's 5-1 right now.
He doesn't have to.
He will keep moving up in quality opponents as he progresses.
Well, he has to.
He's still learning. This is all new to him.
But that's the problem with, it's kind of like coming straight from college, going right to the pros. You know, the Daryl Dawkins, the, you know, LeBron James. You know, that's why very few people can realistically do that.
Sure.
You know, and I think, I'll be curious to when Greg Hardy fights a legitimate UFC heavyweight.
Right, right.
I mean, I think he can become a very good fighter, you know, after we get past all of the stuff that we'll never get past.
Right.
I get all that. But, you know, I think he has the athletic knowledge of training, of you know, all that kind of stuff that he can maybe go on, but we don't know.
He's showing that he has power. He can stop guys.
Again,
his level of competition.
Any UFC fighter can knock you out.
But when you look at these guys' records, you don't know.
That was
who
a dig, by the way. That was a dig. I sent you a little dig from left field. Michael,
I want to walk onto your field and get arrested. I'm gonna shake your hand.
I want to know what just happened in Torta Pizza Dots.
Who knows? I mean, when you give out free stuff, people just.
I want to know how you got those people out of here.
You know, I use my kung fu magic. I use my Kung Fu Panda to persuade them to leave my establishment.
I think you put like omens and stuff on the. All right, so I have some people that will be covering Alon Cruz next Tuesday.
Yep.
Have some photographer friends that will shoot some photos. So we'll be able to put them up on the website. Looking forward to him. Looking forward to Saturday night. And the winner of that Cyborg Felice fight most likely will fight for the title. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Strong. Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.